Well, at the beginning of 2011, Queensland experienced some devastating floods, the worst in their history. It was a disaster really like Australia had never seen before. Thousands of homes were damaged. Whole towns were completely wiped out by this massive amount of flood water that swept through southeastern Queensland. I mean, floods like this, they really make you realise how powerful water is and how little control we have over it. Oh, sure, you can build a levee, you can put your dams in place, you can have your flood mitigation plans, but nothing was going to stop this. The amount of water that swept through those towns was incredible. Now, I mention that because in the psalm that we're looking at today, it talks about swirling floods and mountains washing into the sea. And it's not just poetic language that we're dealing with here. You've got to realise that when the psalm talks about those things, it's talking about that, devastating things that might happen. The psalm begins with the statement that kind of sums up the whole message of the psalm. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Now, the statement kind of gets repeated a little bit further along, down in verse 7 and then in verse 11. It's phrased slightly differently. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It says that twice through the psalm. God is our strength. We can depend upon God. But immediately after that opening statement, the writer wants to toss around some of the things that might call us to question whether or not God really is that strong. He explores some of the things that pose threats to us, and he begins with the natural world. He talks about floods and earthquakes. Now, here is a psalm that was probably written about 3,000 years ago when floods and earthquakes struck fear into the hearts of people. But it's not that different today, is it? I mean, those floods struck fear into the hearts of people, didn't they? But the floods in Queensland were just quite unbelievable. They had the dams in place, they had the flood mitigation programs, but nothing could stop this. There were floods in Brazil in the same week that the floods took place in Queensland. We didn't hear much about it on our news because we already had our own floods to worry about. 500 people were killed in Brazil in these floods. Go back to 2010, a massive earthquake hit Haiti. 300,000 people killed by the earthquake. Back in 2008 in Sichuan province, 65,000 people were killed by an earthquake there. See, they still strike fear into our hearts today, don't they? And again, keep those things in mind when you read the opening verses of this psalm. Go back to verse number 1, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, though the waters roar and foam and mountains quake with their surging. So the writer says that those who trust in God need not fear those things. Did you notice that he doesn't say God won't let those things happen to you? No, no, that's not the point of the psalm. He's not saying that God's people will have a nice life and never be exposed to any of those hardships. He says that God's people need not fear even though the earth gives way, even though the mountains fall into the sea, even though the waters foam and roar and flood. You can trust God even when those things happen. God is the refuge for those who face the flood and the earthquake. And we need not fear those things because our trust is in the God who created the entire world. And God is more powerful than the earthquakes. God is more powerful than the floods because he's the one who made it all. There's a really sharp contrast when you get to verse 4 of this psalm. After talking about the floods raging, we now talk about a quiet stream. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. He moves from the chaos of floods and earthquakes to talking about the tranquil little stream that runs through the centre of Jerusalem. Whenever you read the Psalms, the writers have this quite idealised view of what Jerusalem was like. But did you see why he has this confidence? Did you see it there in verse 5? It's not that their walls are strong. It's not that their armies are more powerful. It's the fact that God is with them. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. The confidence of God's people is not simply that God is powerful, though that is true. The confidence is that God is with his people. It's their relationship with God that gives them strength. God isn't some distant, remote figure who's completely unaware of what's actually going on in their lives. God knows his people, and his people know him. They have a relationship with him. They know God is loving. They know that God cares for them. They know that God provides for them. And they know that God can be trusted. I suppose it's one of those things in the Psalms that we're kind of so familiar with it, or in the whole Bible, that we don't often give it much thought. But you read through the pages of the Old Testament, and God regularly speaks to his people. He communicates with them. He doesn't leave them out in the dark guessing what he's like, trying to figure out how it is that they should live or respond to him. No, God speaks to his people. He communicates with them. God interacts with his people personally. He reveals himself. He makes himself known personally to us. We have a God who lives in personal relationship with us. See, that's what Jesus said when the disciples said, "Teach us to pray." He said, when you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven." That's that relationship language that we're using. We're talking about the God who we know personally. That's the closeness of the relationship, and that's where the confidence comes from. It's not simply that God is powerful. God could be powerful and we could still be in serious trouble. But God is powerful and we know God personally. The confidence that we have comes from knowing God. We live in a country that really hasn't seen an enormous amount of war on our own soil. Yeah, there have been plenty of Australians who fought in wars, but most of the time it's been in other countries that they've been fighting. Our country has been reasonably immune to that sort of thing. We don't know too much about homes being attacked or foreign armies marching on our soil. You think about a country like France, two world wars were fought right through the middle of France. They know what it's like to be attacked by foreign armies. And at the time that this psalm was written, the people of Israel knew what it was to be at war with the nations around them as well. And what the writer has in mind in this psalm is war. Look at verse number 6. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. It says nations are in uproar and turmoil. Now the people of Israel knew all about that. Throughout their history, they'd seen some of the largest nations on earth rise and fall. They've seen the Egyptians come and go, the Assyrians come and go, the Babylonians come and go, as well as countless other smaller kingdoms. Israel knew what it was to have foreign armies smashing down the walls of their city as well. But did you see verse 6? God speaks and the earth melts. The same God who spoke creation into existence now speaks and wars cease just because he's spoken. He brings desolation just by his words. Look at verse 8. Come, see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. So that's what God is capable of doing. Bringing desolation, breaking bows, shattering spears, burning shields. And again, the people of Israel know that firsthand, don't they? They've seen that in their own history, haven't they? They saw the Egyptians washed away in the sea. They've seen armies dispatched by God. But I want you to have a look at verse 10 for a moment. This is probably the best known verse in the whole psalm, but I think it's also normally misquoted, or not really quoted in its context. The verse says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, if you've seen that verse, it might be on posters that kind of look something like this. They're normally these sorts of tranquil scenes, lovely rivers, beautiful sunsets, calm, quiet, serene scenes, where we're being encouraged to be still and know that I am God. It's almost as if it's saying, just take a moment, take a little quiet time and have a think about the fact that God is really the one who rules over it all. But that's not what the verse is saying in its context, is it? I mean, have a look at verse 10. So, and actually, rather than saying be still, a better way to translate that would be cease or stop fighting. Because that's the context of it, isn't it? That verse is actually in the middle of chaos, in the middle of war, shields being burnt and wars being fought. See, a poster that I think would probably fit a lot better with that verse is this one. See, because that's what the psalm's saying, isn't it? It's in the midst of battles and wars. God is yelling, stop, I'm God, you're not, and don't forget it. If you think you can do some damage with your weapons, well, I can do more damage just by speaking. And look at what it goes on to say. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Bet you don't see too many posters like that in the Christian bookshop, though, do you? Now, it's not too hard for us to read through Psalm 46 and sit here on a Sunday morning and say, well, amen to that. That's all true, isn't it? I mean, it's reasonably easy to trust in God on a beautiful Sunday morning like this in Balmain, isn't it? It's reasonably easy to trust in God when you don't have any major dramas in your life or major difficulties that you're facing. But it's when the flood comes. That's when your confidence is tested, isn't it? It's when the wars come. That's when you're tempted to question. But the reason the psalmist says that he can be confident is exactly the same reason that we can be confident. Because God is with us. And if the psalmist could talk about God being with them in Jerusalem, then how much more loudly can we say God is with us? See, in Jerusalem it was the temple. That was the symbol that God was dwelling with his people. So they had confidence because the temple stood in the middle of the city, so they knew that God was with them. But look at what Jesus says to his disciples on the very night before he died. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Jesus promises that by the power of the Holy Spirit, God will indwell us. Not a building in the middle of Jerusalem, Not a church building like this. God with us by the power of his Spirit. The writer of the Psalms could talk about God being with them because they knew that they had the temple, this symbol of God's presence with his people. But if we trust in Jesus, he says we will quite literally have God with us. And that's the confidence that we can have for the things that we face in life. Now again, it doesn't mean that we will never have problems. The whole point of the psalm is that there will be floods, there will be earthquakes, there will be wars, there will be times of hardship and trouble. But God is with us, so there's no need to fear. It doesn't mean that those hard times will be enjoyable, but it does mean that we can approach them with confidence, knowing that God is with us. I heard a story not so long ago about an older Christian man who'd been through a bunch of really tough stuff in his life. His wife dying, one of his children dying, his business failing and having to go back to work at quite an old age just to be able to support himself. And it was a non-Christian guy who was working with him at the time, and he said to him, after all that you've been through, after all of the things that have happened in your life, how can you still have faith in God? And this older guy said, are you kidding? It's only been my faith in God that's enabled me to get through all of that. See, that's what the psalm's saying, isn't it? God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. So the earth shakes, so the floods come, so the hardships happen. But I want to finish with verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The wars and the battles that we see in our world, they've largely been over who's the boss, haven't they? I mean, there have been an attempt to establish who is the most powerful nation, who is the most powerful country in our region, or who is the most powerful nation in our world. I mean, the Cold War that went from the 1950s through to the 1990s, that was really about who is the superpower, who's the most powerful nation on earth. But do you see what God's saying to those nations and anyone else who thinks that they might run the world? He's saying, grow up. I'm God. You're not. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. See, that's where this world is heading. The day will come when all of this will come to an end. And when it does, everyone will have to ultimately acknowledge that God is the one who rules over all things. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 14. As it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. And for those who trust in Jesus, that day is not a day to fear, because God is with us. If we have our trust in his Son, then we know that every knee will bow before Jesus and acknowledge that he is Lord. Join together and pray.